Welcome to the Real Estate Trainer Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Eisenhower. I'm the CEO and founder of ICC, or Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. ICC is one of the largest real estate coaching companies in the world, with thousands of clients and a large team of the most accomplished coaches in the industry, who coach many of the highest producing real estate agents, teams, and broker owners in North America. I'm lucky enough to be a best-selling author myself, with over 10 books published, and I'm frequently a keynote speaker and presenter for many of the largest real estate companies in the world. I've spent my career creating training materials, courses, and other coaching and training content dedicated to transforming the real estate industry and real estate agents that work within it. You can find more content on my website, the world's leading production training website for real estate agents, at TheRealEstateTrainer.com. That's TheRealEstateTrainer.com. Now on this podcast, I'll share tips, success stories, and training for agents and brokers looking to increase their business income while maintaining a balanced life. So whether you are a new licensee, a solo agent, a real estate team leader, or maybe a team member, a broker owner, or a manager, you are guaranteed to learn something new on each and every podcast episode. One thing that I do want to talk to you guys about right now that I've had a lot of comments on is listing management right now. I know there aren't a ton of listings, but boy, when you get them, it is crucial. And I've had a few people asking questions, individual questions about handling, generating business from listings and getting more listings. And I think I can kind of answer a lot of those questions by giving you guys some tools that I'm pretty sure you'll all like a lot. So I kind of want to weave that topic in here a little bit. So I'm going to start with that. And I think Candace, I might call on you a little bit later to talk about how command might apply, if you don't mind, on this one too. So I'll kind of run through it. And then I think you'll kind of see the total scope of what I'm talking about. And I'm pretty sure I can think of some ways that command could really help speed this process up quite a bit, if you don't mind. It's poor Candace. Like, she gets put her right to work in like 30 seconds. She's got like 10 different jobs.
I'm good for it. I like it.
So we'll go easy on you here for a minute. So anyway, with that said, I want to show you guys something, and I've shown you this before, but it's a great place to start. I'm going to start with our listing to contract checklist. And what happens is my cursor is kind of floating around here. It's really important that we have a checklist, because if we're going to talk about a realtor listing checklist, a lot of times as agents, you know, we keep this stuff in our heads. I don't care if you list five properties a year or 500. If you are going to start maximizing your business to get more business, we want to put a little bit of offense in your defense, right? So we're not just doing customer service. We're actually utilizing our existing clients and their properties to also generate opportunities to get more business as well too. We're going to do that by our wow customer service and by marketing these properties for sale. To do that, getting a very detailed listing checklist is really important. And don't worry, this is something I'm going to give to you guys. You can see down at the bottom, we have a pre-listing checklist, listing to con. There's the pre-listing checklist. I haven't zoomed in on it. Our listing to contract checklist. And then we have a seller and buyer closing checklist down here below. And I'll give all that to you if you haven't gotten this from me before.
I'm interrupting this podcast to share an amazing opportunity with you. This is your chance to see us in person. Join us at the ICC Summit along with the real estate industry's top producers as we gather together on the central coast of California for a weekend of masterminding, productivity training, and networking that you won't forget. Visit ICCSummit2021.com to learn more and use promo code PODCASTEARLYBIRD to get 20% off your registration. Register at the link in our show notes before spots are filled.
But right now, I really want to focus in on this listing to contract. And you can see as we scroll down, we talk about the days after listing agreement down the side. And we talk about, you know, we're going to track each day something's complete. And most importantly, when we request something and when it's completed, because often we have to lean on other people. We have to get inspections done. We have to get, you know, photographers scheduled. We have to get stagers out there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we want to make sure that they respond to us. We can't just be saying that we ordered it, right? We got to make sure we follow through and that those people then get back to us and we get them scheduled or we get a task completed. So as we move down through here, you're going to see it's very, very detailed with 44 items all the way until the listing goes live on MLS. After that listing goes live on MLS, you can see now we're going to start the marketing, right? We get those just listed emails out, just listed posts out, mailers, flyers, open house mailers, open house posts, things like that. Weekly reports to sellers every week. We're giving them an activity report. How many online views have we received for different online platforms? How many showings? Any seller feedback? Are, you know, all of our marketing activity updated? This should be done proactively by the agent, not just in an email to our sellers, but this should also be a telephone call. We need to speak to them if we're going to build rapport. If you want to go next level with it and they're comfortable with it, a Zoom call every single week, because now you're going to communicate at a high level, having that face in front of them. So we have a video conference with our sellers is going to help you build rapport and establish a wow factor on customer service like you've never seen. Again, this contract's going to go all the way down until we either get offers or we're going to have a relisting appointment, which means it's a price reduction, right? Or a price adjustment. We're going to sit down there and talk about how we can get that price down to get it sold. And then once the offer is finally negotiated back and forth and accepted, we move over down to our seller closing checklist to go from contract all the way to close, right? So talking about our wow factor, which is what's powerful, because I know most agents, they all want to provide a high level of customer service. Check out this admin intro call to sellers immediately after the listing signed. I'm going to come back to that. But I want you to take a look at that, because oftentimes with regards to customer service, we tend to think that if we respond quickly to all our clients' phone calls and questions, we're doing a good job. We're promptly responding to people. And I do not feel that way. I think that if you're responding to their calls all the time, your customer service is horrible because you're already behind the game. You should be reaching out and proactively contacting them. You need to be on the balls of your feet, leaning forward. Right? Not back on your heels, sitting back, just trying to play defense all the time, responding to them. If your clients are calling you a lot, you've made a huge mistake. Just because you answer the phone, trust me, they expect that. You know, if you don't answer the phone, you're horrible relative to clients' expectations with regards to customer service. So if your clients are calling you all the time, you've got a much bigger problem than you think. The likelihood of you getting referred to someone is not good. Think about any product that you use or any service you use. If you're having to call them all the time, you're angry. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's frustrating. Somebody should have let me know the answers to these questions so that I didn't feel stressed out and anxious enough to go look up your phone number and have to call you and chase you down. There's no preemptive strike on my stress at all. Does that make sense? So if you're just going to be lackadaisical about it and make them call you, just when there's a problem, they'll call you. You're constantly creating these problems within the minds of your clients. So you do need to be on the balls of your feet and head them off at the pass, always calling your sellers every single week so they never have to call you. They know you're calling. Does that make sense? If you want 5-star reviews, that's how you get it. You do something that you can rest assured the vast majority of agents aren't doing. The only people that do this are the very top agents. That's the only people that do this. Low producers don't do it. Unsuccessful agents don't do it. People that sell a lot of real estate do this. So if you're sitting there saying, boy, that's a lot of work to call every one of my sellers every single week, I don't know. I would reassess what work is, because that is not digging a ditch, my friends. That is work. In a nutshell, we set that expectation up front. We proactively call them over and over again every single week to keep them updated. I mean, don't you think the public might expect to kind of be kept up to date on showing feedback, to be kept up to date on how many online views they're receiving? And if we do that, if we keep them up to date on how many Zillow views they've got, how many MLS views they've got, how many views on Realtor.com they've got, if we keep them up to date on that data, all of a sudden, if their house isn't selling, they stop blaming you because they realize you're doing your job. Your job is really simple. It's to expose the property to as many people as possible. If they're not getting offers, guess what? They stop blaming you. They might even stop blaming the market. An epiphany might occur. They might realize, wow, maybe it's us. Maybe it's our price, because everyone's looking at it, yet no one seems to want to buy it. See how I don't have to convince anybody of that? See how I don't have to use magic scripts and dialogues? I don't have to persuade. I just let the information, the material information that we're supposed to be providing them based upon our fiduciary duty to them, do all the talking. It's walking the walk, not talking the talk. Here it is. They're going to self-discover very, very quickly. Oh, wait a minute. It is getting exposed. Wonder why those 3,000 people didn't want to come see it. I'm not sure I'm going to blame the realtor for that anymore.
We are interrupting this episode to share my newest book coming out this September, The High Performing Real Estate Team. Transform your real estate business into a sales powerhouse. Discover how to create a viral goal that spreads throughout your team and drives change. Learn to focus on core activities that result in the majority of your growth and productivity. Cultivate personal responsibility with public accountability and accelerate growth with a custom team dashboard that measures metrics for success. You can pre-order the book at the link in our show notes below.
Right? So make sure we're letting them know it's the market talking to them. It's not our lack of marketing activities. If you show them you're getting exposed, so be it. One step further, let's say people are coming to look at it. We need to be showing them, showing feedback, which is why we want to use our centralized showing solutions, our showing times of the world. We want to make buyer's agents show and schedule showings through those solutions so we can be more professional as agents. I know it's technology and there are some people that just get so scared of it and don't want to use it. But guess what? That's why most top agents require it, is so it actually requires agents to provide feedback without having to call all 800 agents that showed your property to get the feedback. And that's why, you know, the market has moved in that direction and will continue to move in that direction. So please do not fight that one. Otherwise, you're making everybody do a lot of work and lose a lot of listings. So we want to use those solutions. Now, as promised, I'm going to go back. So this, now I will tell you, this works for solo agents. It works for real estate teams. You're going to see it as an assistance first call checklist. And I'm going to share this with you, but you can see here, here's that first call checklist. Remember, we're going to start calling them every single week, right? We want to set that expectation that they're getting a phone call from us typically at the same time every single week. I like them to be done on Fridays, especially Friday late morning. That's my favorite. And the reason I like that is because most people are very busy during the week. On the weekends is when they talk about agents. So they're speaking, you know, so husband and wife finally get together on Friday night or Saturday. And that's when they're like, whew, okay. So how's it been going? Man, no, that realtor hasn't been showing the property a lot. We haven't got a lot of people through here. When was the last time you talked to him? Yeah, I haven't heard from him in a while either. It's been like 5 or 6 days. I wonder if there's any interest. Do you think there's a problem with the listing? Do you think he really, I mean, what about your cousin? Your cousin has a license. Maybe we should have her take a look at it too. Let's call your cousin. All of that happens on the weekends when people exhale and breathe. I want to stop that again preventatively by calling every Friday. So it's like, yeah, I just talked to him yesterday. He called. We actually got about 1,500 online views this week. And there's three schedules. We're actually having an open house tomorrow. That's why we attack it on Fridays. Okay, we attack it on Friday, so it's fresh in their brain when the family exhales and makes decisions and communicates about our listing management. Okay, so we set that expectation on the first call. We want to make sure that we have all the correct phone information and let them know we're going to call back at the same time every week. The reason we tell them at the same time every single week, you know, usually between 11 a.m. and noon on Fridays, is because if they're thinking about calling me during the week, I want them to stop. Don't call me. Why? Because I don't want people to freaking call me. I mean, you're an agent. You can just own it. Like, people calling us all the time is no fun, especially during dinner after they get home from work and we're trying to beat our kid's soccer game or whatever. If you want that to stop, then tell them you'll be calling them every Friday. They won't feel the need to call you because they know you're calling at the end of the week anyway. You watch. This will decrease the amount of times your clients call you. It'll also, you know, decrease their stress and need to feel like they have to call you, which will get them to really appreciate the home buying or home selling experience and home buying experience so that they refer you to their friends because they really have a smooth time with you and they can't believe how professional you are. They've never had an agent that calls them every single week and updates them on these things because almost no one does. It's ridiculous. And people wonder why people FSBO. we can't pick up the phone. Sorry, I'm venting. I'm spiraling, so I'm gonna stop. Okay, so now this is your assistant's first call checklist. You can see we're gonna get their contact information. We're always gonna source the business. Did it come from our SOI? Did it come from our Facebook ads? Did it come from our farming activities? Where did it come from? We always wanna know that. Did we confirm that they received our business cards on the counter? They know our office hours. Notice how I make sure they know my office hours, because top agents shut their phones down. You know that we're always available to you from 9 a.m. to 6 o'clock p.m., right? You don't say that, guess what? They will be calling you at 8 o'clock p.m. Sunday night. If you don't tell them what you expect, they will just test you all the way through, just like with your kids. If you want your kids to run over you, you know, don't tell them what you expect of them. Same thing with clients. It's not their fault. It's your fault for having the lack of courage and discipline and structure to do this. Confirm all their contact information, right? Tell them what to expect from you. We're going to give them that seller net sheet so that they actually see how much they will net. Remember, we talked about that previously. We always want to do a seller net sheet for them after the listing agreement is signed. We're going to confirm their existing loan amount on their property. We're going to send them a copy of the MLS listing to make sure they're cool with how we present it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the way through. We're going to give them some preferred vendors for inspections and things like that. And then we're going to do something that's very important at the end of this. We're going to let them know that we want to ensure that this is a positive experience, that it's our goal to get 5-star reviews from you on places like Google and or Zillow. So we're going to do our best to get that 5-star review from you. And we're going to let them know that we actually do our business by word of mouth. So anybody that you know that's thinking about buying or selling, we want to earn their business as well too, because that's our primary source of business. So if you ever think of someone or bump into one of your friends or acquaintances that's thinking about buying or selling, would you ever have a problem referring our services to them? That's right. I ask that. I train them how to think right at the get-go. Okay. You will not ask this question if it's not on a checklist. I'll tell you that right now. And you want these questions to be done after the listing appointment on our first call to them. Because trust me, they've got a lot going on in that listing appointment. They've got a lot of stress, emotion, decisions to make. So we can actually bifurcate a lot of these issues and do them afterwards. Does this make sense? Now, one thing I think is very important, this is kind of an aside. There's a concept called the Disney close. Does anybody know what the Disney close is? I'm curious. Anybody out there know what it is?
I can't wait to hear this one.
I didn't make this up, so it's nothing to be frightened of. I mean, this is a thing. Like, anybody know Disney closes? Okay, the Disney close is when you actually set expectations it's when you under-promise so that you can over-deliver later. Does that make sense? So it's like an under-promise. So here's where people always get. You can use the Disney close lots of places, right? It's all over the place where you under-promise so you can over-deliver, especially when negotiating. That's probably when it's used the most, when you're going back and forth on counters, right? You expect that seller to really do something bad, and then suddenly he's reasonable with his response, right? And that, even though it's the same number either way, the way they look at it is very different when you use the Disney close. And that's in negotiations, it's a major negotiation technique. Is you can say, well, we can offer 500,000, but you know, he said he's not going below 6. So he said he wouldn't even respond. And yet he comes back at 575. Well, hey, I mean, we did get some movement. Good job. I mean, I would not have expected him to come down at all. So great job. Even though he barely moved and he's not that, you know, he didn't meet you halfway or anything like that. At least we put it in a better context. Here's where I see it needs to happen the most. You'll see agents are kind of panic attacks, right? We don't do a very good job with managing our time. And once we get a client, it's like, oh my gosh, like an alarm goes off in the office. And it's like, you know, let's hurry and we can't do anything else until we get that listing up for sale. So we don't lead generate for 4 days. We don't work on our CRM. We don't do anything on our business plan. We just hurry as fast as we can to get that listing up for sale. And that's usually because we went on a listing appointment, let's say on Tuesday night, and we overpromised. We didn't underpromise. I don't know what the opposite of the Disney close is. Is that the Blockbuster close? It's where we say, hey, I take the listing on Tuesday night. Guess what? We're going to have it up and ready to go on Thursday night. Why? Why do you do that to yourself? They don't care. Even if they do say they care, say, you know, it's real simple. Hey guys, we got to get photos. We really want this to go live and look good all at once Trying to rush like that is not the way to go. You know, 90% of the people that see your listing are going to see it right when we go live for the first time. We need to make sure we are ready for that. And the house looks excellent. So let's say at the earliest, we'll get it a week from Thursday up. Okay. And then if you can get it up by this Thursday, you're going to look like a hero. Make sense? So we underpromise by using the Disney close on the length of time it's going to take to get the listing up and active. So we do not jam ourselves up. We have to at least act as if we have a personal life and we have other clients, even if you don't. So set a proper expectation. Don't jam yourself up. Too sloppy. Okay? This makes sense? All right, I'm gonna look over here. Some happy birthdays out there. Thank you, everyone. It is my birthday. In case you missed it earlier, only one birthday present, and it's the Dodgers winning tonight and bringing us home a World Series. That's all I need. So pray, whatever you do, bring it. Okay, so next up, I wanna show you one more. In addition, I told you we're going to call, and we're going to call every single week. And what we're going to do when we call every single week is give the online leads that came in. We are going to, all the online views. Then we're also going to talk about all the listing feedback, showing feedback from all the showings. All right. And then we're also going to look at our listing and closing checklist. This is why we have a checklist. We're going to look at, here's the last three things we've done on the checklist. That should be pretty easy. They're checked off. And then we're going to look at the next three or four things we're planning on doing. And we're going to tell them that it's like a marketing update. Heaven forbid we give a marketing update to someone we promised to market their home. So here's what we did. Here's what we're going to do. That is extremely hard to do if you don't have a checklist. Trust me, try it, especially if you have 10 listings. Okay. So that's what we're going to give those things. It's really, really easy. Three things we just did, three things we're doing. Just little bullet points. Okay. Very, very simple. We're also going to do this in an email because oftentimes there are people that don't want to be called, which is why we send them an email, right? And that email may suffice. And then if you leave a voice message, it's like, hey, this is Brian Eisenhower again, just calling you. I didn't want to bother you. I also sent you an email. So read through that. If you have further questions, I'd be happy to talk to you. And this is the best because you got a voice message. I'm like, yeah. Because they almost never call back, but you get all the credit of having called them. This is my secret, like, heart. I love this because now suddenly we just, you know, we can blow through all of our active listings. So we send the email. What does the email look like? So we've got an email here. You can see it. This is our listing manager welcome email to sellers. Again, this does not, you don't have to be a listing manager. You can totally be a solo agent, but you can kind of see here. We wanted to take a moment to personally thank you for the opportunity to sell your home. We realize that you must have had many realtors to choose from and wanted that you've chosen us. See how professional this looks? It looks like you've done this before. Does it need to be in your words? I almost prefer it's not. That it is, it shows how professional you are. You put their name in here. If you're on a team or you have a listing manager, of course, you'd put that point. Otherwise, you can delete it out. And you can say in here, I wanted to pass along some information regarding your listing for their address, right? You can say it's up in MLS. Here's an example of the marketing description right here to make sure they're cool with it, to make sure they like it, or there's not something they want to add, or otherwise they will always see that list marketing description and they will just burn inside. They'll either tell you it, or they will just be simmering to a boil inside. They don't like something in there, right? You're telling them you're going to send them a progress report each week. You're going to attach the executed listing agreement, the MLS link for them to review and approve. Can you imagine? And the net sheet as well too. So they've got everything in case you call and it goes straight to voicemail. These people know what they're doing. I'm not going to argue them so much when they ask me for a price reduction because these people feel like, it seems like they know what they're doing, you know? Not someone who's just waiting for me to call anytime I need something. That's what being on offense and being aggressive with customer service means. Not sitting back on the balls of our feet, just trying to answer every question they have. That is never going to be good customer service. We have to get proactive and aggressive with it if you want to create a wow factor that gets referrals from your existing clients. Does that make sense? So that's how we use a realtor listing checklist to do it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Trainer Podcast, sponsored by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. For more information about real estate coaching or to watch my training videos, check out therealestatetrainer.com or join our Facebook called the Real Estate Agent Roundtable. Thanks again.